Buggest blends and Methodist queen works only case.
Let's cut the bull.
Thanks for tuning in to Rebellion Radio, the Hunger Games podcast.
Hello and welcome, everyone, to Rebellion Radio, episode number 17 for March 11th, 2012. I'm Hurley Commons.
I'm Alex Bolivar.
I'm Elena Thomas.
And I'm April Grisanti.
And welcome back, everybody. This week is the week of the TV spot, as it will for now be referred to. We got some awesome TV spots to talk about. We're bringing back In the Arena, people. Yay!
Ooh.
And, guess what? We're also bringing back trivia.
Woo!
So Elena will be leading that.
Yeah.
And the final chapter of The Hunger Games will be analyzed today. So it is a big episode, and you're not going to want to miss it. And you're not, because you're listening to it. So let's just get started with the news. The first news story is a TV spot that aired on TV in a spot. And it was called... it didn't even air on TV. It was a Capital TV exclusive. So if you go on YouTube to... YouTube.com/The Hunger Games Movie, there is a clip. It's not even a TV spot. It's a clip of Katniss's infamous scene where she shoots the arrow into the pig's apple. What do you guys think of this? This is awesome, I think, personally. What were you guys' reactions?
It's pretty awesome, yeah. Yeah, that's about how I imagined it.
I like how there's, like, almost no dialogue. Sunika's face at the end. Which we see in the trailer was awesome.
Oh, I just love his head turn. Awesome beard.
I know. And it's the first clip we've seen, like, just a clip, standalone clip, which is good because, like, you can kind of see, the filming style, and, it looks awesome in HD and all that. And I just have to mention the line that I will quote the most from this movie is when Sunika goes,
"Who ordered this pig? Who ordered this pig? Hey!
Who ordered this pig? Who ordered this pig?
Who ordered this pig?"
Okay.
Hurley's just dying over there by himself.
Does nobody find this really funny? Just goes, hey, who ordered this pig?
It's funny, but...
Are you just going to insert the audio right here?
Oh, of course.
Who ordered this pig? Who ordered this pig? Hey!
Okay. I'll probably insert it in random spots throughout the episode.
Oh my god.
Okay, so we should probably move on. So, Alex, what's the next news story?
So, our next news story is that there is yet another trailer for the TV. And so this one is a very emotional Hunger Games trailer, and is noble because it features the song Safe and Sound by Taylor Swift.
Ooh.
Yay.
So what did you guys think of this one? It has a very different feel than the previous ones we've seen. It's all nice and sweet, and, you know, it's like... It's a tearjerker. So what do you guys think of it overall?
The music didn't fit at all. But the clips were nice. The clips are really nice.
Yeah, I like the clips that we saw. I mean, it was great to actually see some new footage. Like, I do believe we saw PETA in this one, like, throwing the bread to Katniss.
Yeah, that was the big scene that people were talking about.
But, so yeah, the music doesn't fit whatsoever. It just sounds like, I don't know, a middle schooler working in a computer lab would do if he had Audacity.
Oh, wow. That's harsh.
I mean, it just doesn't... It doesn't really...
No, I get what you mean. I get what you mean. How it's edited, first of all, it's kind of weird, because it just mixes in random shots of, people from District 12 walking around, and it just seems kind of weird. But at 23 seconds, we do see the scene with PETA and Katniss, you know, with the bread... What do you guys think of that scene and what you saw? Like, footage alone, not the music.
Didn't PETA throw the bread at her when she was younger?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Like,
he
looks too old.
This must be recent then, right?
Maybe he's
like,
not thinking,
compared to...
I don't know.
No, well, he definitely is. You see him throw the bread.
Well,
Elena, what do you think? Because
I kind of like how, like... This. I don't want to watch a billion clips. Like, I've already seen, like, a bunch. Every time I watch, like, a book to movie film, like, film adaptation, I like always I'm like, I'm gonna watch all the clips and all the look at all the pictures and look at all the interviews and everything, and every single time it like gets your hopes all up, and then you go see it and you're like, oh yeah, I can like quote this because I've already seen the clip 1,000 times. So I don't want to do that. Like I've seen a couple, and they all look really impressive, but I don't want to watch all of them. So, yeah.
Very interesting. Well, I don't really care about like getting my expectations up. I just watch everything that I can get my hands on.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the tone is really too sweet. You know, like the song, like Standing Alone, it seemed fine, but mixing with shots the movie, it just does not fit.
Yeah, it feels like it could. I don't know. I don't want to say romantic comedy, but some sort of bittersweet romance, like very.
Yeah,
Nicholas
it does not
Sparks.
Look like a. Doesn't look like a comedy.
No.
Exactly. It looks like a Sparks. It looks like a Sparks book.
Yeah.
Like Dear John or yeah,
no
something, like something of that, something of that ilk. But the clips were cool. So.
One last thing to add, we actually see Katniss's mom for the first time. I think.
Is that her?
Yeah,
I think it is.
I remember that.
Oh. Okay. So the blonde lady is her mom. I just thought it was some random citizen.
I'm looking into a mirror and seeing a random lady.
Huh. Well, she looks catatonic. It's good. Good look. So, Elena, what is the third news story?
There was another TV spot, which I did watch, because Harley made me. And
okay.
Well, you didn't make me. You just... peer pressure. And so
that's accurate.
So this TV spot includes new footage of Cinna saying that he'd bet on Katniss, and it's all very impressive. I think it was shown as like a commercial, I think, on TV.
Yeah.
And so what do you guys think of this? I think it's pretty cool.
I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, this looks awesome. Like,
yeah, it's much more intense.
Yeah, we get a ton of crowd shots of the Capitol.
Yeah, yeah. See, that's what I loved about it, because the copy I'm watching it on right now is the only one that's available, and it doesn't have timestamps, but, like, about two-thirds in, you see, like, the movie event of the year, and you see the Capitol, and, like, it's nighttime, and it's all lit up like a giant city, and, oh, that looks amazing. That's, like, you know, that looks exactly... It kind of looks like Washington, D.C. a little bit.
Wait,
or New York.
Let me check, me being the D.C. person.
Like, the buildings look kind of like...
It did look like New York, yeah.
Government. Yeah,
yes,
it looks like...
It is a very stereotypical city look.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it looks awesome. And then, if you keep going, you see Katniss in a room and, like, looking out at the forest. And then right after that, you see Gale talking to her. And then comes another amazing Capitol shot. And it has the text on in front, from the best-selling epic novels. And this looks... so Nazi. I'm just going to make this reference.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the square, and, like, you can see there's kind of, like, this star in the middle. And, yeah, I thought that was really... I think the visuals are definitely a reference to Nazism.
Yeah.
Or, you know, dictatorial power.
Yeah, and you have a bunch of chariots.
Is that what those are?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, I thought they were, like, little go-karts.
That's
what they look like.
That's the future of transportation, go-karts.
Yes. Yeah, after that shot, there's nothing really new until the part where it says the world will be watching, and Alex, there's your holographic map for you. Look at that.
Oh, so cool.
It's so cool, and the shot is amazing. Elena, what did you think of the holographic map? You didn't talk about it last time.
Which one is this?
It's
the world
there's no time
watching.
The world will be watching. It's near the end, sort of. It's like, let's see,
the last
4/5 through. Yeah, last fifth.
Oh, I see it. Oh, that is really cool. Yeah, I remember seeing that.
That's awesome. But what's like that red, like?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
That red segment, is that just?
Maybe it's like a. Is that supposed to be the whole world type of map, or just like? I don't know.
I thought it was just the arena.
Yeah, I don't see why they have to map the whole world, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Unless the whole world is the games.
Maybe it's like the place where they have all those firebombs stuff set up. Like,
oh,
like,
yeah,
it's
it could
not,
be
like
where
actually
they attacking.
Red, but they're mapping like...
Oh, right, yeah, I knew it wasn't like red, but like I was wondering what they were like shading.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that shot sold it for me. And the music is so like sinister.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And The Hunger Games, rated PG-13. That's the end.
Yeah.
Speaking of rated PG-13, April, what's the next news story?
Nice segue.
Oh, thank you.
The official MPAA rating is PG-13 for intense violence, intense violent thematic material, and disturbing images all involving teens. That's
such
oddly
awkward,
specific.
Yeah.
See, this is the one time I actually will use the word awkward. That is such an awkward wording.
Yeah.
All involving teens. Yeah, it makes sense. And disturbing images, I think we will get our run for our money. You know, it's not going to be toned down all that much.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So that's good news. The next news story is that the hashtag HungerGames24 campaign has begun, and your city may get an early screening of the Hunger Games. Can you just list
too.
Off...
Okay, so...
Can you list off the cities with the...
Okay, so there should be one in Seattle, Washington. So maybe
yeah.
we can go to that one. Okay, sorry. It's kind of hard to see. All right. Some of them say this location is locked, so it won't tell you. San Francisco, San Diego, which maybe I can be able to go to. Ogden, Utah. MN.
Okay, point is, you can go to HungerGamesMovie.com and find it there. Yeah, but the idea is, like, each city has its own hashtag, and whichever city gets the most hashtags, they pick, like, early screenings. So, yeah, go to HungerGamesMovie.com to see if your city is on the list. And now, April, what's the next news? Which is very... Yeah. Okay, yeah, go for it.
Well, in here it says, April got the nail polishes, which I did. I got 6 of them. I got the ones for District 1, 3, 4, 9, 11, and 12. They are actually all for each district, that's why there's 12 of them. And it literally, they have a poster in each place and it says, blank for District blank, etc., etc.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, so they're all oddly specific to each one. And they're all really, really beautiful. I have pretty much all the shimmery colors. The only one that I can't find that I'm really sad about is the District 2 one. And it saddens me, because it's really pretty. But, yeah, they're really nice, and I will recommend them to anybody who likes nail polishes and the Hunger Games.
Well, that's me, so count me in. For the record, I'm kidding about that. But where'd you get them? Just like a store?
Near me, there's a Sally Beauty Supply, and that's where I got 4 of them. And then I went to the mall, and there's a beauty salon in there, and they had them.
All right, there you go. You heard it here first. Hunger Game nail polishes are cool. So go out and get your own. Let's move straight into our next segment, and that is In the Arena. We haven't done this in many, many, many episodes. And this is the segment where you put 2 Hunger Games characters against each other and argue for who would win in the battle in the arena. Hence the name, In the Arena. So, this week we have a fight between President Snow and President Coin.
Who ordered this pig? Who ordered this pig?
So each side will have 1 minute to present their argument. And at the end, the listeners get to decide on our poll on our website who would be the winner in a fight in the arena. So, Elena and April, why don't you guys go first? You have 1 minute to argue why President Coin would beat Snow. And go.
Okay, so President Coin would definitely beat President Snow because, first of all, she did. So, by the end of the book, she's very smart. She got all of these different people. Mainly she got Katniss, but there were lots of people that she organized. She got everyone together so that they could go and beat Snow. If it wasn't for Katniss, she would have... Well, she actually did beat him, but she would have taken over him and basically done the same thing that he did. But the whole point is that she beat him.
And she's way younger than Snow, because Snow is really old, as we all know. And she's from District 13. She has all that nuclear power that they had. Mm-hmm. And she will get so many weapons that will just wipe Snow out of the park. Like, not even.
Out of the park, huh?
Yeah.
Yep. Right,
okay, you guys early. Have 10 seconds. Wait, hold on. Anything else to say? 8 seconds. Alright, too late. Time's up. Okay. So, Alex, we have 1 minute, and go.
Okay, first of all, President Snow is strong enough to build an entire country, which he has under his finger. He could do the Hunger Games, and it worked for 74 years. Plus, he has the entire arsenal of all the capital. Let me see. It took them destroying, like, the entire country in order to finally get him. And what it takes to defeat Coin? Katniss just turning around and shooting her with an arrow. It took a lot more to get President Snow. He is crafty, he is sneaky, he has a whole lot of military protection, and plus, if Coin could have nuked him, why didn't she?
Yes, I agree. Snow is extremely powerful. He had the entire country, this huge sprawling nation under the, like his care, not care, but like, he completely destroyed them. He had them, like, completely under his control, and exactly, if Coin defeated him so easily, she had to, like, do all this work and, like, 2 years of preparation, and years and years, and Coin just got killed by a freaking arrow in her face, and yes, Snow has a heck of a beard.
Do we get her?
That mane, how...
I'm sorry, she...
That mane... No, yeah, okay, sorry, go.
No, I'm sorry, it's a joke, but she used to be President Panem, but then she took an arrow to the knee.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so time's up for us, but,
I just had to
get, a rebuttal? Sorry.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Rebuttal, 30 seconds.
Okay, so, it's not a fight between President Coin and President Snow. It's a fight... Sorry, wait. Yes, it is. Wait.
Yes, it is.
Sorry, I did... It's not a fight between Katniss and President Coin. It's a fight between President Snow and President Coin. And so, it didn't matter that Katniss killed Coin. Katniss, it doesn't matter. She just she's not involved in this. It's Snow and Coin, and Coin beat Snow. And also...
Plus,
President Snow wasn't the one who built Panem up. He just was the president of it. That's like saying that Obama made all of America and he organized it all. No, there was lots of history going into the past that created Panem. It wasn't just Snow who did it.
Yes, Snow's a sissy, and he's hiding behind all the game makers and all that stuff. And you remember, he died from choking on blood. He didn't die normally. He died from choking on blood and then getting mobbed. Okay, it's better that Coin got killed by an arrow to the knee than Coin Snow being killed by choking.
Okay, time's up. So, we get one more 30-second rebuttal, and that's the end of that. So, ready, set, go. So, I'm going to start off by saying, yes, it's not a fight between Katniss and Coin, but Katniss defeated Coin pretty easily, and that was the purpose of that point. And also, he hides behind things, but that's because he's sneaky. He's a strategist. He's sure not always the bravest guy and not always the most, you know, morally right, but he knows how to play the field. And he knows how to do things to his advantage. And apparently Alex agrees.
Yeah.
So,
I think I made one
anything else? Okay, so we have like 20 seconds left. But, all right. So that concludes In the Arena. Vote for who you would think would win on our website. RebellionRadioPodcast.com, and we will discuss the results next episode. So, guys, let's move into chapter chat, and this is a semi-bittersweet chapter, because it is the last chapter of the book, folks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Aww.
I know. We have to see it go, but the film's coming along in a few short weeks, so we have that to look forward to.
Hooray!
And yay,
that'll be the only thing we'll ever talk about for the rest of this podcast.
Oh, yeah, for at least, you know, many weeks. But this episode, I don't think I have to say it, but spoiler alert, if you have not read this book, don't listen to this. And we also talk about spoilers from the rest of the three books, so you have been warned. So chapter 27 starts off with Katniss seeing Peeta on stage for the first time. On Caesar's stage, he looks healed and healthy, and Katniss runs to his arms. They kiss in front of the audience and continue to kiss, even as Caesar tries to get them to stop. So, Peeta's definitely in for the ride and enjoying Katniss's, like, quote-unquote show for the Capitol. So when they're ready, Katniss and Peeta sit down together on the small sofa, Katniss tucking her feet underneath her and resting her head on Peeta's shoulder. So she feels a sense of security, stability, and even as she sits beside him and they watch the video highlights of the Hunger Games, she can't imagine doing this by herself, and wonders how people in the past have done them, have like sat through a montage by themselves. So I thought it was interesting because the Capitol like tries to spin her as like this really innocent girl you know, who doesn't, you know, she's just like, oh, this is my boyfriend, yay. And, you know, they don't want to make it seem like there's an actual rebellion happening. And the video highlights, I actually want to watch that, you know. Even if I was attributed in the game, I would want to see what other people were doing, too.
Yeah, because you would have to wonder, maybe in the movie, if they show this, we'll see if there's something going on with Clove and Kato or whatever it was.
Oh, interesting.
But still.
Yeah, well, the thing with the movie, though, is it's not completely restricted to Katniss anyway, so if they wanted to, they could show something like within the games itself, like Katniss or Kato and Clove. But yeah, the recap could show something between other tributes.
Mm-hmm.
So the recap video has been edited specifically as a love story, and Katniss gets to witness for the first time how Peeta worked to save her from the start. See, this is what I mean, because I would be interested to see what happens. So he misled the couriers and stayed awake the whole night when she was pinned up in the tree. And she thinks that she seems heartless by comparison, that is, until she calls out Peter's name after the announcement that two tributes can win the games, and nurses him back to health and all that stuff. I think this is a really successful form of propaganda, you know, like editing the film in a certain way to make it seem like that. And then Katniss notices, too, that the filmmakers chose not to show Rue decorated with flowers, probably because they would seem too rebellious, but they did leave in her singing to her.
Aww.
So sweet.
See, I can imagine this whole montage actually having safe and sound. Maybe like an orchestral version.
You want to hum that for us?
I'm good.
Ah, darn, so close. So, President Snow emerges with two crowns. That'd be kind of cool. Get some crowns, Hunger Games souvenirs. Two crowns and places them on the victors' heads. Although President Snow is smiling, Katniss can tell that he blames her for the stunt with the berries, and that she is the one who will get punished. So, you know, not everybody else knows that, like, she's, like, the force behind it, but Snow knows, you know. He knows all, which is why he'd win it in the arena.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they finished the night at the victory banquet, Katniss never letting go of Peeta's hand, and they return to their rooms for the night. Katniss finds that her door has been locked from the outside. She is again the capital's prisoner. So it's not over yet, and it will not be over for the next two books. So the next morning, Katniss and Peeta reunite with Caesar for their final interviews. They sit together on the sofa as they did the previous night, and Caesar asks them about their budding romance. Katniss finds the discussion challenging because technically, like, quote-unquote, she's faking it. But Caesar helps her out, saying that he knew that she was in love with Peeta for the first time when she called out his name after hearing the rule change. And Caesar, what is his deal? Why is he so nice? Like, why do you think he's not completely corrupted by the capital? Because he's, like, helping her out. Maybe he knows that she's not really in love with him, you know?
I think it's also because, I think he also is not on the capital side completely. Like, he is, but he also isn't. And also, it's kind of his job to make people look good. Like, it's not just because, like, just because he's working for the Capitol doesn't mean he has to be mean all the time. I think it's his job to make them look good so that they can get more sponsors and therefore the Capitol can get more money.
Yeah, he's a talk show host. It's his job.
Right, yeah. But he, in a way, he's kind of like Cinna, you know, just kind of like the one nice guy that Katniss meets. But he still is corrupted because he's part of the whole thing, but...
Well, I mean, like, in the end, Caesar, I think he doesn't pick a side, he just sticks with the capital, so by not doing anything, he is on the wrong side.
Right, he is kind of a coward.
He's not... Well, yeah. Yeah, but, I mean, it's
if
not like
he truly did... Yeah, I mean, he's not, like...
Actively doing anything, but he still is a bad guy, technically, I guess.
Yeah, I think he might be, representative of the whole Panem, too, like...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sorry, not Panem, the Capitol, because they're not really doing anything, but they're still participating.
Yeah.
In the whole shebang. But Katniss goes along with Caesar's suggestion, but tries to keep focus on Peeta. She finds out, too, that Peeta lost his leg from the mutations, just completely gone, and gets her first look at his prosthetic. Caesar, as expected, asks Katniss about the berries, and she struggles to get the right words out, but afterward, Haymitch says that she was perfect. So, natural, you know, just not too, like, fishy, just perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So, Peeta, Katniss, and Effie, Haymitch all board the train to go home. In her room, Katniss washes away her makeup, changes out of her dress, and transforms back into her good old self. As she nears District 12, she wonders more and more about who she is and what she'll say to Gale when she sees him. Ooh, will he be mad? Will he be happy? Who knows? When the train stops for fuel, Katniss walks with PETA out along the tracks past the end of the train, and he learns that Katniss doesn't know how she feels about him, and said a lot of things in order to keep them both alive was not, like, act out of love. So he finds out that it's pretty much all a lie, or, you know, from his perspective, what else is he going to think? And then that night, PETA goes to his room, and Katniss doesn't see him again until they pulled into the District 12 station. PETA reaches out his hand for Katniss, and his voice, all hollow, asks if he can hold her hand just one more time for the audience. Katniss ends the book saying, "I take his hand, holding on tightly, preparing for the cameras, and dreading the moment when I will finally have to let go." Aww. Aww. And that concludes The Hunger Games by Suzanne Collins. There you go.
And wow. By the end, I really do think that she has feelings for him. I mean, throughout the whole book, you can tell that she does.
At this point, she does, but...
But, like, she's kind of convinced herself that she doesn't.
But yeah, I mean, well, she doesn't want to admit it.
Yeah.
Because she has to protect herself and her family and all that, and she, quote, cannot afford to think like that. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, at the end of this novel, like, I was honestly kind of, like, hating Katniss, because... PETA was this whole time, he was, like, truly in love with her. I mean, not hating. I mean, I guess it's fair that she doesn't say it, her true feelings, but what'd you guys think? Like, were you guys... Whose side are you guys on? Because they've completely split apart now.
That's a good question. Huh.
Like, who do you sympathize more with? I guess it's a better way to say it.
I honestly sympathize more with PETA.
Yeah.
I mean, you risk your life for a girl in the Hunger Games. You're willing to die for her. You nearly commit suicide for her. It's almost Romeo and Juliet. Then you finally get out, you think you're going to have a great romance, and then she just says, "No, not really."
Yeah, I was kind of faking it. She's like, that's
sucks. A slap in the face.
I hate to, like, go against what you guys are saying, because I agree, like, it sucks for PETA, and I relate to them
both.
No,
you should go against, so it's nice different
opinions. Well, I mean, I just, like...
opinions.
Just generally, I relate to Katniss, like, in a lot of ways, I guess, like, temperament-wise or something. So, I don't know, I kind of understand where she's coming from. Like, she can't afford to think like that because there's just so much at risk, and it, like, sucks that she has to break his heart. But, like if you want to listen to, like, practicality, it's best if she doesn't, because, I don't know. Like, I understand where she's coming from, too. So, like, when I finished the book, I was like, well, it sucks for both of them. They both are, like...
sucks to suck, guys.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess I kind of sympathize, whatever.
Sympathize
a little more with Katniss.
Interesting. April, what do you think?
I don't know. I think I'm kind of more on PETA's side. Because that poor boy, man...
I know.
He's just getting kicked in the face. First the Hunger Games with the girl that he loves, and now she fakes it the entire time, and... Oh, gosh, man.
I know. I mean, what are you going to listen to, practicality or your heart? I mean, come on.
Listen to your heart when it's calling for you.
Yes!
I just had to put that
Alex in. Sang! Alex sang on the show.
Screw you.
He sang before, but not in such an emotional and raw way. But yes, email us in any thoughts of this chapter, the whole book, what happened when you finished it. I immediately picked up the second one.
And I had to wait 6 months because I'm a Hunger Games hipster, and I was a fan of it before all of you guys.
That's right. So when you finish this, you have to actually wait for the next book.
Yes, and I was just so busy going, oh, what's going to happen?
Well, honestly, let's face it. This book ending is not nearly as bad as the Catching Fire ending.
Not as bad?
No. Catching Fire, I, like, screamed. I, like, was like, what? And I was like, where's the next page? Where's the next page? There has to be a page.
Bad as in
oh, my
good.
Gosh.
No District 12.
Oh, you mean bad as, like, good. Like a good cliffhanger.
It's, like, a huge cliffhanger. This one is, I guess it's a bit of a cliffhanger, but it's not, like, a...
Yeah, I mean, it's not, like, a huge, like...
throwing it across the room or anything.
Yeah, when I finished, I was just like, Well, that was satisfying, and then I just went to the next one.
Yeah.
But, yeah, email us any thoughts about who you sympathize with more, PETA or Katniss, or whatever you want. Email us in comments at rebellionradiopodcast.com.
Elena's so evil, she hates PETA. It's not true. I love PETA.
Yes, please send your hate mail to us, too. We will definitely forward that to Elena's personal inbox.
Well, thank you. Okay.
No problem. So, Elena, take it away.
All right, so trivia. We haven't had this in a long time. All right, so here's the rules that I'm going to ask a question. For example, I think we already asked this one a few episodes ago. For example, I would say, what is Katniss's nickname? And then Hurley, April, and Alex would all be like, it's Katniss, or it's Catnip, or it's Billy Bob Joe, or whatever. And then...
That's it.
But then whoever gives the correct answer first will get the point. And I'll say what the answers were, unless... Everybody decides to be all inappropriate as usual, so then I won't say them.
But, no. But then, yeah, play along at home, everyone.
Yeah, and so whoever gets the most points wins. And how many questions do you want to do, like 5 or 10?
Let's do 5.
Let's do 5, okay.
Okay, so 5 questions. So the first question is, how many times was Katniss's name entered into the reaping? Okay, so Hurley says 16, April says 24, and Alex says 40. All of you are wrong, but the first person who got it right was Hurley with 20.
Oh my gosh.
I was going to say April, but then you guys were both, like, super close. So yeah, Hurley gets 1 point for the first time ever. Sorry, Hurley.
This is honestly, like, my second point in the history of trivia.
Oh my god.
The next question is, how many times was Gail's name entered?
Oh, come on.
Okay, Alex says 500, April says 100, Hurley says 48. Okay, Hurley got it close with 48, and the correct answer is 42. Alright, I'm trying to find...
Oh, it's the answer to life. Would you look at that?
Oh. Shucks.
So, Hurley got it right again.
Ah.
And the next one better not be Prim or something.
How many times is Prim's name? That one's easy, it's just once. Anyway.
One.
Okay, so the next question is, what is the color of the dress Katniss wore to the reaping? This is kind of easy. Alright. Alright, Hurley gets it right with blue.
Yes!
Come on, we all answered correctly.
Yeah, you all answered correctly, but it's all based on who submitted it first. Oh, yeah. April said white and blue, but I didn't write down white and blue. I just wrote down blue. Sorry.
Damn!
Sorry, April.
The next question is, what is the name that Katniss gives Prim? Like, nickname.
Oh.
This isn't, like, the first chapter, I think. All these questions are from, like, I think the first chapter. Maybe the second one. Let's see the first. All right. April says duck. Alex says ducky. And April says ducktail. And then ducktaily. All right. Okay. I'm just going to go with April because she said duck. And the correct answer is little duck.
No.
So.
I said duckling.
So?
Yeah.
I win.
Okay. So I'll give that to April because she's got it. Yay. Okay. And the last question, this is the fifth question, is, what is Prim's goat's name? And this is way too easy.
What?
All right. April gets it with Lady.
Okay.
How do you pronounce that?
Hurley wins with 3 points, April has 2, and Alex has 0.
Oh my god. I won trivia!
For the first time in ever.
Ever. Wow. I'd like to thank the Academy for this honor. Wow, this week is full of surprises.
Mm-hmm. Lord of this pig! Lord of this pig!
But that concludes the show, everybody. We hope you had fun with that. Alright, to wrap up the show, we have Hurok. So for Hurok or Hunger Games Rock, we close up the show each week with the musical selection of one of the host's choice that we think fits well with the Hunger Games. Elena.
Yeah, this week I chose Sucker Punch by One Republic, and I know everybody probably already thinks I hate PETA enough, so this isn't helping my case. But I think this song is kind of like, sort of from Gail's perspective, because it's like, basically the chorus is like, after all is said and done, I am not the one, but after all is said and done, you are still the one. So it's kind of like he's thinking about Katniss, like she won't choose him, but he still is in love with her kind of thing. So yeah, that's why I chose this one.
Very nice. Sucker Punch by One Republic. Mm-hmm. So that ends the show, everybody. Be sure to visit Rebellion Radio Podcast for everything about the show. You'll find handy links to our Tumblr and iTunes. And by the way, thanks everyone for their kind iTunes reviews. We just passed 100 ratings, so keep them coming. And you can also stay updated through our Facebook and Twitter, which are both at /RRPodcast on the respective sites. And of course, discuss with other listeners in the comments. Contact us for anything at all at comments@RebellionRadioPodcast.com. This is exciting. This is our last episode before the release of the film. So enjoy, everybody, and we'll see you on the other side. Thanks, everyone, so much for listening. I'm Hurley Commons.
I'm Alex Bolova.
I'm Leah Thomas.
And I'm Ipul Grisanti.
Lord of this pig! Lord of this pig!
Fight the capital, end the hunger, join the rebellion.
Awkward indeed.
Hello. Elena.
Hello.
You hear?
Sorry, hey. I had to go shove my sisters out of the room.
That's okay.
Sorry. Editing again. I usually try to like get them to be quiet, and I'm like, go, go. And they're like, nah, nah, and they just start yelling.
They start foaming at the mouth and start biting. That's what you make it sound like all the time. Okay, so, click.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Clear voices. Everyone ready? All right.
Ma.
Wow.
Okay. Hello and welcome, everyone, to Rebellion Radio, episode number 17.
Hey, who ordered this pig? Hey, who ordered this pig?